Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Saints, and yes, this is Reformation News broadcast. No, I haven't backslidden, no. I haven't turned or gone over to the dark side. No, I'm still serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But I wanted to play that song because That was my first encounter with Tutti Frutti's. And you know what I'm talking about. That was my, as far as I can remember the 45 records. I can remember the portable phonographs. I can remember people. I was a kid, of course. I'm sitting on the sofa. And I have some aunts and some young uncles. And putting on 45s. And, of course, they got Little Richard's record, Tutti Frutti. And, of course, Little Richard is a Tutti Frutti. And we all know what that means. But I can remember that was my first exposure, my first ever, to somebody like Eddie Long. And please let me not insult Little Richard. Only that he and Eddie Long had this proclivity for same-sex attraction. But not that Little Richard was a predator. No. I wouldn't say that. But that was my young exposure to someone who's attracted to the same sex. Later on, as I got a little older and it was time for me to get my little talk on the birds and the bees, and I remember hanging out with my uncles. I had three uncles. My mother's younger brother. There were three of them. And I remember them telling me of who in the neighborhood, who around the block was a tutti frutti, and not to ever be seen with them. Yeah, I can remember. My mother had eight siblings. My mother was the oldest. Following my mother, there were five girls. And then after my grandmother had six girls, she had three boys in a row. And I remember hanging out with the three boys because, again, I'm my mother's oldest child, and my mother was the oldest of her group. My mother was the firstborn in her group, and I was the firstborn from my mother's children. So I got to hang out with my uncles. And they're the ones who really told me about, they were like my brothers. My mother's three younger brothers were like my brothers. And they taught me how to fight in the schoolyard and how to not let the bully take your lunch money. And I remember them giving me the story of the birds and the bees, the three of them, schooling me, you know. I'm sure they didn't know what they were talking about, but they thought they were giving me the thing on the birds and the bees, the little speech that you're supposed to get from your dad. Well, my dad was around, but these three guys, my three uncles, toughened me up, gave me advice, scolded me when I needed scolding, sent me home when I needed to be sent home, let me hang out with them. And they're the ones who told me about the tutti frutti's. They told me who was a tutti frutti, who was known to be a tutti frutti, and to just, you know, stay away. And then they told me, and it wasn't sinking in, so they said, Little Richard, yeah, it's a tutti frutti. And little Richard, yeah, he wants to dance with Susie, but that's all a front. Little Richard doesn't like Susie's. He likes Bobby's. He likes Richard's. He likes Tom's. I was blown away. Then of course. I guess it was the Ed Sullivan Show or some variety show, and I saw Liberace. And when I saw Liberace, they said, there goes another tutti frutti. Really? No kidding? Yep, that's a tutti frutti. Wow, they wear capes. Because, you know, Liberace was very flamboyant. So that's how I was made aware, but like Eddie Long. Now, who is Eddie Long? Well, don't go by his bio. Don't go by his biographical sketch. And don't go by all of the malarkey, all of the lies that you heard during his wake or during his life celebration service. That's all baloney. That's not who Eddie Long is. Don't go by what Deion Sanders said. No, don't go by that. I don't trust any of those people. No, I don't. Mm-mm. No, Who was Eddie Long? Eddie Long was an Episcopal Humpty Dumpty. And remember the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty? Well, Eddie Long promoted himself as a bishop, as one who was engaged in episcopacy, a bishop of the church, an anointed servant of the Lord. Now, he was none of that. He was a bishop, but not of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a bishop of Satan's church. An Episcopal Humpty Dumpty who sat on a wall and had a great fall. And none of the king's horses and none of the king's men could actually put Bishop Eddie Long back together again. Not that they didn't try. Not that they didn't try to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, because they tried. Oh, they tried. Oh, they tried. They tried. But they couldn't put him back together again. And they tried hard. But they never accomplished. They never accomplished it. Never. They never could. Now, the first thing that I want to establish in this broadcast, first thing, is that there is no version of Humpty Dumpty that ends well. There's not a single version of Humpty Dumpty that ends well. The story of Humpty Dumpty does not have a fairy tale ending. And, you know, you would think that the Eddie Long version of Humpty Dumpty would have a fairy tale ending, because Eddie Long was a fairy. But there is no fairy tale ending for Eddie Long's version of Humpty Dumpty. No, there is no fairy tale ending. Mm-mm. There is none in literature. There is not a version. You can't find me a version anywhere in any language put out by any culture of Humpty Dumpty that has a fairy tale ending, or that ends well. Now, to prove my case, I have four versions of Humpty Dumpty I want to play for you. They're not long. They're short clips. But I have four versions of Humpty Dumpty. Now, this is part of my thesis tonight. I want to show you that there is no version of Humpty Dumpty that ends well. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All of the king's horses and all of the king's men, they tried to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, but it was impossible. I could play for you today 50 versions of Humpty Dumpty, and they would all have the same ending. It ends bad. It ends bad for Humpty Dumpty. Just like it was going to end bad for Eddie Long, no matter who tried to put him back together again. You can use crazy glue. You can use gorilla glue. You can use duct tape. You can use whatever you want to. You weren't going to put Eddie Long back together again, ever. Ever. I don't care who you are. Jakes couldn't put him back together again. Steve Harvey couldn't. Deion Sanders. Nobody could. They tried. Steve Harvey had him on the show. Tried. But you can't put Eddie Long back together again. He had a great fall. He had a great fall. And there's no fairy tale ending for Eddie Long. They tried to put him, you know, in a last-ditch attempt to put him back together. They ran almost a six-hour service. They mustered all of their energy all of their pizzazz, all of their so-called giftings. Everybody ran to Eddie Long's rescue at this memorial service. It was there at the memorial service that you really saw all of the king's horses and all of the king's men trying to put Humpty Dumpty. Look, they had choirs, they had dancers, they had former politicians, they had athletes. I mean, you can't get any better than Deion Sanders, Hall of Famer. They have Hall of Fame athletes, politicians. I mean, they had bishops. Oh, they had super bishops, super duper bishops. Because Neil Ellis, who wants people to call him His Eminence, His Grace, oh, he's a super duper. And what about Bishop Eric Garns? You saw him with his Superman cape? Did you see Eric Garns walk around in his cape? I mean, his cape was just supermanish. Well, 6 hours of trying to put Humpty Dumpty together, the most expensive coffin imaginable. I mean, they just tried. Choir, praise dancers, eulogists, testimonials. And none of that did Eddie Long any good. Can't put them back together. His wife's tears, his son's tears, his daughter's tears, tears are not going to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. So let me play the first version of Humpty. I'm going to play 4 just to make my, I could play 50, but I'm just going to play 4 because I want to prove to you that there is no version out there of Humpty Dumpty that ends well, that has a fairy tale ending. There is none.
Humpty Dumpty's fallen off the wall. Let's go help him. He's our friend. Hey, Humpty, are you okay?
I don't know, Jack. Can you put me back together?
What happened, Humpty?
I know.
It was nice for all those people to come together to try to rescue Eddie Long, but it didn't work. Oh, it was nice. It was nice of them. It was nice. Here's the next version.
All the keyboards and all the keys. some more.
Okay, Humpty, back on the wall, please.
There you go. That's the second version. And as the song goes, they could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But what else did you expect? I mean, that's the way the short story goes. Here's another one. Number three. Third version, and it ends the same. It ends the same. Now here's the fourth and final version. There you have it. There you have it. Four different versions put out by four different institutions. They all have to be faithful to the story. They can't alter the story. They don't have any authority to alter the story. Because the story has a message. When you have a great fall, there's nobody that can come to your rescue and make it like it was before. Mm-mm. Now, if you don't believe me, go to your refrigerator, go to your carton of eggs, take one egg in your hand, and just drop it from the height of 3 feet. Do that to all 12 eggs in your carton. And I can guarantee you that you will not be able to put back. I'll give you 12 chances to try to put the egg back together. And I can guarantee you that if you drop all 12 eggs from a height of 3 feet, they will crack. They will spill their content. And you will not be able to crazy glue it, duct tape it together, gorilla glue it together. Now, that won't stop people from trying to put Humpty Dumpty together again, because that's the other side of the nursery rhyme. People tried. They tried. They're always trying. All you want, and you can't put them back together again. Now let's go to Eddie Long. He had a great fall. Tutti Frutti, Eddie Long, had a great fall. The hypocrite that he was, the hypocrite, because there are many people who have same-sex attractions, and they come out and they say, this is who I am. And you may not agree with their lifestyle choice. You may conclude, like the Bible says, that their lifestyle is an abomination. But you got to give them credit for at least saying, this is who I am. This hypocrite, this Episcopal hypocrite, used to march in anti-gay rallies, down with the gays. But yet, that's what he was. So he's a hypocrite. There's a lot of people on YouTube, a lot of people on YouTube. They say, this is who I am. They don't hide it. They're proud of it. They participate in Gay Pride Week. They march in gay pride marches. They don't hide it. So at least you know they're out of the closet. This is who I am. And you give them their space and you coexist. Because this is America, this is a democracy, this is not a theocracy. You don't hurt them, they don't hurt you. You don't put a finger on them, they don't put a finger on you. Those are the boundaries. You learn to coexist in a society, country where people have rights. Now, when Jesus returns, when Jesus comes back, like it states in Revelation 19, then things will change. But until then, it is what it is. But at least you give gay people, the respect for at least saying, this is who I am. Not like Rock Hudson, who was in the closet all those years. Well, he couldn't come out because he was tied to the studios. And he was a moneymaker, big moneymaker for the studios. And the studios weren't going to let Rock Hudson's secret out or Montgomery Clift's secret out or the other men who had same-sex attractions like Raymond Burr, the guy who did all those Perry Mason episodes. He was queer. Studios, covered it up. Because nobody wants a queer Perry Mason. No, that was unacceptable. Nobody wants a Perry Mason that's a Fagula. They don't. I know my parents wouldn't have watched Perry Mason if he was a Tutti Frutti. I can guarantee you that America in the late 50s, early 60s would not have been watching Perry Mason if Perry Mason was a gay man. It's not happening. The moral culture at the time would not have permitted it. It was unacceptable. I have a minister's manual from that period. I have a minister's manual from that period. And you go down every state, and they will the minister's manual from that period, and I saved it. I saved it. Because to be a homosexual in those days was a crime. You were thrown in jail. You were thrown in jail for being gay. I have a psychology textbook from that period that calls homosexuality a mental disorder. And it's from Oxford University Press. I also kept it. But not today. As they say, we're gay and we're here to stay. Well, we live in America. This is what it's become. But at least you give these people credit for saying, I'm gay, I'm out, this is who I am, I'm not faking that I'm something else, I'm not going to be gay, and I'm not going to enjoy the gay lifestyle, and then march in an anti-gay rally. So that's why Eddie Long, who was up in that big wall, when the lawsuits came out, he had a great fall. Oh, there were rumors. There were rumors that Raymond Burr was gay and that Rock Hudson was. There were rumors. There were rumors about Eddie Long. But we had no tangible evidence until those brave young men sued him. Then he had his great fall. And then immediately, some people tried, because, I mean, it was devastating for Eddie Long. I mean, he couldn't live it down. I mean, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. It's just like Jimmy Swaggart, you know. He's another hypocrite. Remember when Jimmy Swaggart used to talk about how the prostitute needs to get saved? The prostitute needs to, in every sermon, the prostitute needs to get saved. Yet he's with prostitutes. That was his thing, prostitutes. You see, and when you're a hypocrite, when you wear a mask, when you're not real, when you're a phony, your fall is great. You look at Jimmy Swaggart today, yeah, he's got a Sun Life Network. Yeah. Jimmy Swaggart's on TV, but he's bitter. You look at his face. He's bitter. You listen to him. He's angry. He's got no power, no anointing. He's running on an old resume. Because when you're a hypocrite, when you sit on that wall and you come down, you have a great fall. And whether you're a saint or a sinner, we have one thing in common. We hate hypocrites. We don't like hypocrites. We just don't get along with hypocrites. The Savior didn't like hypocrites. And when the Pharisees and the scribes were walking around acting as holier than thous, Jesus rebuked them, and 7 times he called them hypocrites. And then he detailed why, and you'll find that in Matthew 23. Even the Savior, our Lord, love incarnate, problem, a major problem with hypocrites. Now, Let me show you how soon after, Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. And by Humpty Dumpty, I mean Eddie Long. Let me show you how soon after Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall, people tried to come to his rescue to kind of like, you know, crazy glue him back together, gorilla glue him together, duct tape him together. And the first one, the first cop out, the first one of the king's men, because Satan is the king in all this. That's right, Satan. These people come from Satan's kingdom. The first one is T.D. Jakes. He's the first hypocrite that came to the other hypocrite to rescue. Here is T.D. Jakes' situation back together again.
So the lifter of our heads, thank God for Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord that was on our side,
we would have been swallowed up. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. While we're in the spirit of prayer, there's probably not a person in America or around the world that does not know the recent tragedies that have gone on in New Birth, and that Bishop Eddie Long is up under severe scrutiny during this time. And I think that we as Christians should just pray. Somebody said to me, you haven't come out and said anything publicly. I said, there's nothing to say. There's nothing to say. You can't make great decisions with poor information. Until you can separate facts from conjecture, there is nothing to say. So you hold your peace, keep praying. When all of this is over, one thing's for sure, somebody, if not everybody, in it is going to need the blood. Come on, somebody. Either way you cut it, the blood has never lost its power. Either way you go, I know a man from Galilee who's able to deliver you and set you free. I don't care what it is, I don't care when it is, and I don't care who it is. God said, my grace is sufficient.
So now this fool, because that's what he is, he's a fool. When we deal with sinning clergy, and you'll find a chapter on that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul doesn't mention anything about any blood. You read 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting at verse 17. And Paul doesn't mention anything about the blood. He says, against an elder, do not receive an accusation unless you have two or three witnesses. Now, in this case, we have four. Against an elder, / pastor, / bishop. Do not entertain an accusation unless it comes by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Them that sin, which means you have to conduct an investigation. And T.D. Jakes is the man to do the investigation. Why? Because in the slideshow that I'm giving you there, he's one of the men who lays hands on Eddie Long. He commissions Eddie Long. So if you're laying hands on somebody, that authorizes you to investigate their crimes. If you laying hands, if you just laying hands, then you are required, when an accusation is lifted against them and there are witnesses, to delve into it, to find out, to get to the kernel of the truth. So when you read that chapter, Paul doesn't say apply the blood. You know what he says? He says rebuke them openly so that others may fear of committing the same sin. Ain't nothing about no blood. Ain't nothing about no blood bucket in the corner. You don't have no, nobody has a blood bucket. This is a fool. This is a jackass talking. This is a moron.
Ain't gonna have no headlines. I'm gonna tell you right now, I need the blood. Who else needs the blood in here? If it were not for the blood of Jesus, I'd have been consumed a long time ago. I just wallow in it and lay in it and roll over in it every time.
No, you don't wallow. You don't wallow in the blood of Jesus. According to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, pigs wallow in the mire. Nobody's allowed to wallow. You don't wallow. No, 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 no. The blood of Jesus is not filth. Only pigs wallow in the mire. Don't you ever say that you're going to wallow in my Lord's blood. Mm-mm. No. No, you don't. No, 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 no. You're not going to do your little twisty turn there like a pig in the mud. No, because the blood of Jesus is not mud. It is not mire. It is not a mixture of dirt, urine, and excrement, which is what mire is. I'm telling you, this is an ignoramus talking. And we just can't let him get away with it. No, you're not going to wallow in the blood of Jesus because the blood of Jesus is not mire. Pigs wallow in mire, not in the blood.
Who else needs the blood in here? If it were not for the blood of Jesus, I'd have been consumed a long time ago. I just wallow in it and lay in it and roll over in it. Every time the devil tried to kill me, I scream, the blood! 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 That's my only defense! Hey! That's my only defense! It's the blood of the Lamb. Reach up.
No, that's your only cop-out, because the Bible doesn't say to apply any blood. The rules for dealing with an erring minister is 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and following, and there's no mention of any blood there and no blood bucket and wallowing in any blood. That's nonsense. That's a cop-out. But you see, he's trying. He's trying. He's not using crazy glue. He's not using Gorilla Glue. He's not using duct tape. He's not using some powerful adhesive. He's not using cement glue, like the kind where you used to do your model planes. Mm-mm, no, 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 no. He's trying to use the blood to fix the situation. But the blood is not going to fix the situation because Eddie Long won't repent. He won't come clean. And the blood is ineffective unless somebody comes clean. You got to come clean. You got to confess your sins. You got to own them. Then you can ask the Lord Jesus to cancel your sins, to wash you in the blood, to wash you. Not to have you wallow in it, but to wash you. Like the Bible says, they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. Not that they wallowed. Mm-mm. Pigs wallow. I'm not a pig. No, I'm a human. I'm created in the image of God. I'm not some beast. I'm not a pig. No, 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 no. No. Lambs don't wallow. Pigs wallow. Sheep don't wallow. Boars wallow. Sows wallow. That's why Peter says, and the sow, once she is washed, runs back to the mud, to the mire, to wallow in it. No, 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 no. Don't use that language with us. But he tried. He tried to put Humpty Dumpty together again with this nonsense about the blood and
I don't want to say anything because I don't have any facts and blah, blah, blah. He tried. But it didn't work. Now, to this, sometime after this, Eddie Long appeared on the Greg Davis show, which is featured on the Word Network. Here is Greg Davis doing his best to bring Eddie Long on his broadcast to see if he can put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Here's Greg Davis and Eddie Long.
Ooh, welcome. We are at the New Birth Church in Apollonia, Georgia. That's right. Come on, somebody give God praise. We are on location. Welcome to the Greg Davis Show. And I'm Greg Davis. I'm surrounded by some beautiful people here at the New Birth Church. And, of course, if we're at New Birth, you know who we're talking to today. 28 years he's been at the New Birth Son of Missionary Baptist Church. And what a mighty God we serve. To serve people, and I say that serve, not to lead, but to serve people for 28 years in one place. There's some people that I have to introduce because they haven't done much, and I have to really add to the bio and say a lot of things, but, you know, it's like the President of the United States. You just say the President of the United States. So, Bishop Eddie Long.
Thank you.
I don't know what to say.
In other words, Humpty Dumpty.
Welcome to my show, or you tell me welcome to New Birth. welcome,
I think
sir.
You did it well.
Thank you for allowing us to come and talk to you today. We're going to get right to it because we got about 28 minutes. What's going on in New Birth, man? Everybody's talking. Everybody wants to know what's going on in the New Birth.
You see, what's going on in the New Birth? What's going on in the New Birth? Since Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall, since Humpty Dumpty had his great fall, and since they've been trying to keep Humpty Dumpty together by all means necessary, what's going on with the new birth? Well, nothing. Nothing's going on.
We've moved into another dimension, or I would say a whole nother realm with God and the full counsel of God.
Hey, can you believe that? He says, we moved into another dimension, another realm. What am I watching? An episode of The Twilight Zone? Is that what I'm watching? Is this an episode of Outer Limits? Don't adjust your television. You have entered into the outer limits. This is bizarre. We entered into a new dimension, a new realm. New Age foolishness. But see, even the new dimension and the new realm in which this man is trying to live in did not repair him.
You know, it's like the President of the United States. You just say, the President of the United States. So, Bishop Eddie Long.
Thank you.
I don't know what to say. Welcome to my show, or you tell me welcome to New Birth. welcome,
I think
sir.
You did it well.
Thank you for allowing us to come and talk to you today. We're going to get right to it because we've got about 28 minutes. What's going on in New Birth, man? Everybody's talking. Everybody wants to know what's going on in the New Birth.
Well, we've moved into another dimension, or I would say a whole nother realm with God and the full counsel of God. You go through things and through much tribulation, you enter into the kingdom. And a great kingdom understanding, a comprehensive understanding of not just sermonizing. Well, you know, New Birth has always been out in the community and touching nations, et cetera, but moving more in signs, wonders, and miracles, trusting God for the supernatural, opening ourselves up even for the creative miracles of God. And then God has given us great favor with nations, and we're moving.
Yeah, maybe God can, yeah, if you're trusting in the creative powers of God, maybe God can give you a new shell. I mean, when you listen to this guy, and you know, this is why, you know, the book jackass bishops is so apropos. Because when these bishops talk, whether it's Eddie Long or T.D. Jakes or Neil Ellis or Eric Garns or Charles Blake, you take your pick. It makes no difference which bishop is talking. What you hear is a jackass. That's what you hear. I mean, what you just heard here, tell us about the new birth. That is a jackass statement. Now, that came from Bishop Greg Ellis. Tell us what's going on with the new birth. And then the other jackass sitting across from him talks about new dimensions and new realms and the creative power of God and touching nations. And you know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like this. Sounds like a lot of jackass hype. That's what it sounds like. Pure jackass hype. But here's more.
Into those nations and actually bringing the kingdom gospel, but bringing people together and under the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So there's a great excitement. There's a whole nother dimension that we're moving in, and the power of God, the authority of God, and it's an exciting time. And so we're just excited at this moment.
And 2 years later, he's dead. 2 years later, two years later, they're conducting a memorial service. 2 years later. So much for entering new dimensions, new realms, experiencing the creative power of God.
You said something that caught me, and that is, through much tribulation, then comes the kingdom. Expand about that, because most people think that you just walk up into it. But there is some things that we as believers have to go through in order to get the kingdom.
Well, I think sometimes we don't read the Bible as thoroughly as we should, because everyone you see in the Bible, when God got ready to promote them, even Jesus Christ, he always allowed tribulation. And it was a maturing process. And sometimes we try to sing our way out of and pray our way out of the maturing process of God.
Or lie your way out of, or crazy glue your way out of, or gorilla glue your way out of, or duct tape your way out of, or like T.D. Jake said, let's apply the blood. See, and he's saying, we got to go, it's a maturing process, tribulation. In other words, my four lawsuits were part of my tribulation because now the Lord wants to promote me. No, you ain't going nowhere. You're going, you're going down is where you're going. You're trying to go up, but the Lord will make sure you go down. And down he went. Down he went. Down to the grave, 6 feet under, and down into Hades went his soul. Because I believe he didn't die. He didn't repent. That's my belief. My belief is that his conscience was so seared. He was so out of touch with reality, because that's what happens when your conscience gets seared and you get full of demons. You lie your way into thinking that you're right, but you're wrong.
Us have to go through in order to get the kingdom.
Well, I think sometimes we don't read the Bible as thoroughly as we should, because everyone you see in the Bible, when God got ready to promote them, even Jesus Christ, he always allowed tribulation. And it was a maturing process. And sometimes we try to sing our way out of and pray our way out of the maturing process of God. And I always go back to nature, when you understand that when a hen lays an egg and the chick's about to come to pass, you know, that chick has to fight its way out of the shell. And if anyone helps...
Look at Humpty Dumpty. Are you listening to Humpty Dumpty talking about a chicken and an egg and a shell? And in other words, what he's saying is, see, I used to be Humpty Dumpty, but now that I fell off the wall and my egg is cracked, I got to spin it now. I got to come into a new dimension. You see how he's spinning it? This is a spin doctor. That's what this guy is, a spin doctor. Won't face reality. He's coming out of a chicken. Now he's a little chick. He has to break through the shell and, you know, force his way out. And because everybody knows, I mean, he's a walking eggshell. What happened, Bishop? What happened? Are you Humpty Dumpty? No. I'm just coming out of my shell because, you know, I'm coming into a new dimension. I'm entering new realms. I'm entering the creative power of God. Talking about the chicken and the hen. And cracking the shell and coming through. Yeah, because everybody sees eggshells. Oh, no, I'm not Humpty Dumpty. No. But he is Humpty Dumpty. But he wants you to think that he's going through a rejuvenating process that comes about through tribulation and breaking through the shell. No, the breaking of the shell is the wrath of God. That's what the breaking of the shell is, not new birth. It's not a new birth. Talk to us about the new birth. These are two spin doctors trying to put Humpty Dumpty together, trying to repair Eddie Long's brand, trying to repair his name, trying to repair his legacy. This is all baloney.
When God got ready to promote them, even Jesus Christ, he always allowed tribulation. And it was a maturing process. And sometimes we try to sing our way out of and pray our way out of the maturing process of God. And I always go back to nature when you understand that when a hen lays an egg and the chick's about to come to pass, you know, that chick has to fight its way out of the shell. And if anyone helps that chick in that fight, it weakens the chick. So when it comes forth, it dies all of a sudden because it doesn't have the strength for the next dimension that it's in because it aborted the struggle. Sometimes we abort the struggle and then we still get promoted, but then we fall backwards because we don't have the strength for that dimension. God allows us to go through certain things to even test his word in our heart to know whether we really believe it. And so with all of that, and to see it manifest, see it actually operates. You know, Revelation said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. What the world needs to see in the body of Christ and what God demonstrates is a testimony. Where it seemed to be impossible, he makes it possible. Where it seemed there was no way, he shows a way. But he's maturing people to see that his word really works. And so with that, you start to, when you say enter into the kingdom, you're now operating not just in power. We'll shout about power and they receive power and holler and all that, but we operate in the authority that God has given us with that power. And when those two come together, you're unstoppable.
You mentioned about the people, are you seeing that maturity now through your messages, through the miracles and sign and wonder? Are you seeing the maturity of the people? Are you seeing this manifest in your people?
I see it greatly in my people. And one of the most amazing things is the transition of that. We're not gathered around a man. We're gathered around God. We're joined together by spirit and by purpose and by call. And so it is the most wonderful, wonderful time for me as a pastor to know that we have now come together because God has ordained for us to be together. We're bonded together. I have a mature people who understand if you're actually going to do kingdom business, you're going to take some hits. If you're going to disturb principalities and powers and mights, and you're going to come against people's comfort zone. But it's all for their betterment, the things that Joseph had to go through. He finally realized, you know what? What you intended for evil, God meant for good. And I had to go before you so I can preserve your posterity. And
now he wants you to think that Joseph, the son of Jacob, was a Humpty Dumpty. Enough with this stupidity. But he tried. Greg Davis tried to help him, but it didn't work. because he went nowhere. So what? Millions of people saw this interview on the Word Network. This interview, this half-hour interview went to 200 nations. You know what? Even after this interview, Eddie Long was getting no phone calls to preach because people weren't buying it. They weren't buying it. And then here is Steve Harvey. Six months ago, Steve Harvey had Eddie Long on. They're still trying to repair his image. T.D. Jakes tried. Greg Davis tried. They tried. Now here's Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey's trying to, you know, get him back in good with the black community. Here's Steve Harvey.
Of Eddie Long, the untold story.
After several years of the pressure, I want to make a statement.
Today, folks, is going to be a tough one. Today I'm sitting down to do an interview that for months I wasn't sure if I should or I could do. Whether you know my first guest story or not, you'll understand why it's such a struggle for me in just a moment. Let's take a look. In 1987, Bishop Eddie Long became the pastor of Georgia's New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. Since that time, Bishop Long took what was a small congregation of 300 members and through his passionate ministry and strong connection to the community, transformed the parish into a bona fide mega church that once boasted more than 25,000 regular worshipers. But in 2010, Bishop Long's path was rocked by controversy. Several lawsuits alleging the bishop used his influence to coerce a number of the church's underage boys into sexual relationships. Throughout the process, Long has denied the allegations through attorneys and spokesmen, and all of the lawsuits have since been settled out of court.
I am not the man that's being portrayed on the television.
But the fallout has been epic. There have been calls for his resignation. Parishioners have left in droves. The church's Christian academy closed. His marriage was publicly strained, and the bishop even admitted contemplating suicide.
I had a moment where I wanted to kill myself.
Bishop Long is the author of several books, including his latest, The Untold Story, a story of adversity, pain, and resilience. Bishop Eddie Long is joining us today in his first public interview discussing his side of this story. Please.
See, and what Eddie Long was hoping was that time would heal all wounds. Because, you know, they tell you, give it time. Comes and there's infidelity, and the pastor's counseling the couple. And the partner who committed the infidelity and his partner is not responsive, the pastor, the counselor will tell that person, give it time. Let this person heal. But you know what? Years passed. And Eddie Long thought maybe the public will forget or maybe the public will forgive me or receive me, time, hearts have been healed. But you know what? It didn't work. The public wasn't buying it. And Steve Harvey, he's a smooth operator. Oh, he's a smooth operator. But it didn't work. And 6 months later, Eddie Long is dead. Mm-hmm. Oh, he contemplated suicide. Don't worry about it, buddy. God took care of that.
Welcome, Bishop Eddie Long. Bishop, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
You know, what makes this tough for me is because this is a guy that I love. His church was the first church that I went to when I moved my family to Atlanta. You've helped me in my personal life. When I was fighting so desperately to get my son. I think the work that you've done in the community has been just stellar. So the tough part is because I guess I'm human like so many other people. You know, it was hard for me to wrap my mind around allegations like this. I wanted to do this interview so people get a chance to hear from you. You haven't spoken to the media since the allegation surfaced in 2010. Why now?
Well, first of all, thank you for allowing me to be here, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak. And the reason I'm speaking, it's been 5 years, and I'm not really trying to talk about what happened 5 years ago, but in retrospect, I'm trying to get across that in everybody's life, you're going to hit a wall. And there's life when you think that everything is gone, and I want to be a living testimony of that versus trying to make people believe I'm this.
Did you hear what he said? I want to be a living testimony of those who hit a wall. In other words, he's Humpty Dumpty. See? He hit a wall. He was on top of this big wall. He came down, and he hit another wall. It's called the sidewalk. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. So he's saying, "Listen, I'm here. I'm Humpty Dumpty. I'm still leaking yolk. You can see the cracks." You can see the cracks. You can see, he's leaking stuff like an egg. Oh, he's leaking stuff. And he's there to testify that even if you hit the sidewalk, even if you come down, even if gravity drags you down and you hit the sidewalk and you splatter, you can pick yourself up, put yourself together. Well, 6 months later, he was gone.
I'm not really trying to talk about what happened 5 years ago, but in retrospect, I'm trying to get across that in everybody's life, you're going to hit a wall. I'm not really trying to talk about what happened 5 years ago, but in retrospect, I'm trying to get across that in everybody's life, you're going to hit a wall to speak. And the reason I'm speaking, it's been 5 years, and I'm not really trying to talk about what happened 5 years ago, but in retrospect, I'm trying to get across that in everybody's life, you're going to hit a wall. And there's life when you think that everything is gone, and I want to be a living testimony of that versus trying to make people believe I'm this or that. I want them to witness what I am and what God is doing and how others can rise.
Now, under the terms of the settlement with his accusers, there are things that Bishop Long can't legally discuss. Millions of people want to know.
He can confess. There's nothing in those court papers that says he can't confess. There's nothing in those court papers that say that he can't make public confession. Sure he can. Jimmy Swaggart did. And don't tell me it's legal documents. No. When he settled, it's the boys who can't talk because they got paid. If you take settlement money, you can't do the talking. If you got settlement money, if you win the case, if you win the civil case and they cut you a check, once you deposit the check, you can't talk. The predator can talk. The predator can confess. The predator can own his sins. So this is spin.
What can you tell us about the accusations, and how do you feel about the situation?
Well, it's very little I can talk about that, and I want to say that I'm not trying to skirt it. It's written part agreement, and I can't do that.
Can you answer this question with a yes or a no? Did you ever have sexual relations with any?
I'm bound by court that I can't answer. I can't make any statements about that.
Okay.
Now, you see, he comes on the program. He's on the pro. He's coming on the program to have Steve Harvey patch him up, because T.D. Jakes tried to patch him up with the blood. Bishop Greg Davis tried to patch him up by giving him an interview. And now Steve Harvey's trying to patch him up. But you know what Steve Harvey did? He just made scrambled eggs. Because now Eddie Long even looks worse. I mean, instead of this helping Eddie Long, instead of helping him, he's dodging questions. And what this show is doing is taking Eddie Long and turning him into scrambled eggs. So he's not just a cracked egg, he's a scrambled egg. And you know, you can't put a cracked egg back together, much less it's impossible to put a scrambled egg together. It's impossible. But that's what this interview did. So it makes no difference. It makes no difference. The king's horses and the king's men could not do what? Put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Can't do it. It's not possible. It is not possible. That's just the way things are. Now, and what Eddie Long had to do was he just had to retire. Because he was never going to come back. No. Never going to come back. Kills these guys. What destroys them is not their love for Jesus. No, they don't love Jesus. They love the money. They love the fame. They love the notoriety. And what's killing them is they're never going to get another engagement. No one's going to invite them to speak before 50,000. That's not happening. It's not happening. They're done. They're finished. That's why, folks, when you go to the supermarket, when you go shopping, before you buy eggs, you know what you do? You know what you do before you buy eggs? Your wife or you open up the carton to make sure that none of the eggs that you're buying at the supermarket, that not one of them is cracked. Because nobody wants a cracked egg. Cracked eggs have the potential of having salmonella. When I go shopping, my wife says, check the eggs. Don't bring me any cracked eggs. My wife wants to know, my wife wants to make sure that I'm not bringing home any cracked eggs. She wants to know. And she tells me, look, I put some things on the list. Check the eggs. Open the carton. Make sure they're not cracked. Because nobody wants a cracked egg. Nobody wants a cracked preacher. Mm-mm. So now here is Bishop Jakes, and he's talking to Lee Hawkins. This is an interview. Lee Hawkins is the interviewer, and he's interviewing Bishop T.D. Jakes. And please note that there is a connection between Eddie Long and the Roman Catholic Church. Bishop Eddie Long. There's a connection between the Bishop Eddie Long and the Roman Catholic Church. Listen to this short clip.
Were you able to privately speak with Bishop Eddie Long when he went through his challenges and the allegations that were made against him? Have you ever had a chance to speak with him?
I have tried to counsel him and encourage him during that tragedy. And really, really, my heart really went out. I thought that it was a tragedy that nobody wanted. You know, everybody suffered. Everybody got wounded. His kids, his family, his church, those boys. Those allegations, the cloud that still remains over everyone involved in it, I thought was...
The cloud that still remains. See? You can't fix Humpty Dumpty. Oh, T.D. Jakes tried. He tried to get the blood on him. No, but it didn't work. In the court of public opinion, the verdict was guilty. And listen... It's not just where there's smoke, there's fire. It's not just, do you see smoke? There's got to be fire. No. There was smoke. There was flames. There was ashes. There was debris. There was charcoal. I mean, forget about smoke. smoke, you had fire, you had ashes, you had charcoal, you had the fire trucks, you had the firemen, you had the water, you had the heat. No, this isn't this where there's smoke, there's fire. No, no, no. This was a full blaze. And T.D. Jakes says, still to today, the cloud that remains. That's right. That's right. Because you can never, ever, ever fix Humpty Dumpty. Never.
And encourage him during that tragedy. And really, really, my heart really went out. I thought that it was a tragedy that nobody wanted. You know, everybody suffered. Everybody got wounded. His kids, his family, his church, those boys, yeah. Those allegations, the cloud that still remains over everyone involved in it, I thought was tragic.
You know, you said you tried to counsel him. Were you able to counsel him?
You can counsel a person as much as you can and try to comfort them. I don't know whether you can say that you really that they do what you say or every time you tell them what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
With the challenges that we're seeing in the Catholic Church right now, and a lot of the out of court settlements, what is the impact that all of this has on the brand or the perception of the church? And
let's start with the impact it has on the victim. Okay, let's start with the impact it has on the victim. Because if we prioritize the impact that it has on the church at the expense of the victim, particularly where you're talking about young boys who are being molested, look, I think they have to take the priority there. And ultimately, we have to find a way to be able to move about the king's business with honor and dignity and class. And when there is failure, we have to correct that with the priority being on the victim. Now, once you do that, then the collateral damage, you have to do some reform with the church and make some other changes in order to be more effective.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But no reform, you can't fix it. It's done. It's over. Humpty Dumpty is gone. Humpty Dumpty is gone. 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 Now. After his death, they're still trying to glue the guy together. They're trying. They tried. Almost a six-hour service. What do they bring in? They brought in a Hall of Famer, Deion Sanders. Here he is. Here's Deion Sanders.
Pardon me for me hiding behind my wonders of life. This is the first day that I've really come to grips that this is real. This was a father figure to me. This is a man who I looked up to, I adored, who called me when many had walked out on me, who left me, who abandoned me, who made sure I was straight.
Who made sure you were straight. He didn't make sure that those other boys stayed straight.
This man challenged me, that which ultimately provoked change in me. This man was brave. This man was courageous. This man was dedicated to all of you. This man was enthusiastic about everything he did. This man was full of faith until the very end. This man was a giver, a natural giver. This man was helped many of us, and he didn't even want or desire nothing in return. This man was faithful. This man was deliberate in his doing. This man was loving. This man was kind. This man was caring. This man was a daddy. This man was our pastor. This man was our friend.
This man was a monster and a predator. No, a monster and a predator.
This particular man is... was a man's man.
Oh, no, he was not. He was a tutti frutti.
Man taught me how to face adversity. This man taught me how to stand in the midst of the storm. This man taught me so much of how to even be a man.
Wow. That's scary. I wouldn't want Liberace teaching me how to be a man. I wouldn't want Rock Hudson teaching me how to be a man. Mm-mm. No. I don't want Raymond Burr teaching me how to be a man. I don't want, no. I don't want Jim Nabors. I don't want Goma Powell. I don't want Golly teaching me how to be a man. No. I don't want Tim Gunn teaching me how to be a man. No way. I don't want Elton John teaching me how to be a man.
I'm not foolish enough to think that it's not doubt, it's not indecisiveness, indecision in this house right now, but I want you to know this man is real, and just perhaps, all the media, all the naysayers, all the doubters, perhaps you were wrong about this man.
Mm-mm, he's a Humpty Dumpty. No, we're not wrong. He paid out. He paid out, and he made sure that those boys couldn't talk while he was alive. But Santino Kemp talked. Santino Kemp wrote the book. I would encourage you, Mr. Deion Sanders, Mr. Hall of Famer, I would encourage you to read the book, First Lady, by Santino Kemp. And, by the way, there's a new book coming out. Now that Eddie is dead, now that Humpty Dumpty has been buried, there's a new book coming out. It's entitled Four, the number four, F-O-U-R, Forsaken. That's right. The four boys are getting together, and they're writing a tell-all book, and there will be no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. But this fool, he taught me to be a man. Yeah, taught me to be a man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because everything I'm saying, I know to be a fact about this man. First Lady, I thank you. April.
Shut up. Nobody wants to hear you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep drinking the Kool-Aid, buddy. Now, here's a number of people here. They had other bishops come up. They had pastors come up. They had a politician come up. Let me play this clip real quick.
Somebody said, yeah. Amen. We're moving the program along. I'd like you to receive these tributes who are going to honor the time of 2 minutes given to them. That is the Right Reverend Dale C. Brunner, the Right Reverend Tuda Bismarck, the Right Reverend John Gray, and the Right Reverend William Murphy, who after the Right Reverend William Murphy has spoken, would also go right into his selection.
Now, did you hear that? There are four bishops going to try to come up. These are the king's men, and they're trying to put Humpty Dumpty back. Four guys.
These tributes who are going to honor the time of 2 minutes given to them. That is the Right Reverend Dale C. Brunner, the Right Reverend Tuda Bismarck, the Right Reverend John Gray, and the Right Reverend William Murphy, who after the Right Reverend William Murphy has spoken, would also go right into his selection.
Blessings to you. Blessings to you, Elder Vanessa, and to the Long family, to my new birth family. We're really family. We really are. I salute you, and I salute my friend. Several years ago, we were in Virginia together, and he was speaking for an event called New Revival in America, and I was speaking for it as well. And I happened to sit in the session as Bishop Long communicated. I told him immediately after his session, I said, Bishop, I said, I didn't come up here for you to cuss me out. And I said to him, I said, I'm going to be one who will ameliorate your vocabulary. And I took him on as my project and started teaching him some of my words, and we would be places together speaking, and he'd use a $50 word, and he would ask me, he said, how did I do?
Well, instead of giving him $50 words, how about giving him a word that's free? Here's a word that's free. How about the word repentance? How about the simple word repentance?
And I would let him know that it was wonderfully, wonderfully done. And I'm so glad that there is not a lugubrious expression in this place today, but that we're able to enjoy the wonderful serendipity that only comes because we are connected to God. But let me just say, from an apostolic standpoint, that this man was not only a gift of God to this house and to other nations around the world. He had other friends in ministry and other places. He had this uncanny ability to be able to come in his own way and speak with the perspicacity of an eagle and prophesy to a house in such a way that you realize that this is not merely the revelation of a man's wisdom. This is the gift of God.
No, this is a Humpty Dumpty. Stop the nonsense. Stop the fool. I don't want to hear any more. Four guys get up to try to put them back together. Nobody wants to hear it. Five wasted hours, almost six wasted hours. And here's the choir. Here's the choir. The choir comes to his rescue. And the interesting thing about the choir is that they have purple ribbons. Purple. Purple's the color. This is the favorite color of gay people. Purple ribbons. Purple ribbons. You look at the choir. You look at the video. Purple ribbons. The church in Revelation, the apostate church in Revelation 17. The apostate church in Revelation 17 is decked in purple. Well, folks, listen. Let me give you four Humpty Dumpties in the Bible who never recovered. Four Humpty Dumpties in the Bible. Four Humpty Dumpties. Now, of course, they were not given what Eddie Long was given. I mean, even in death, the church, the king's horses, the king's men, they tried to put Humpty Dumpty Long back together again. His wife spoke. His kids spoke. Couldn't put them back together. It's impossible. Now, they gave Eddie Long a five-hour service, didn't put them back together. They gave him, it's a rumor that the casket cost $100,000, that's not going to put them back together. It's rumored that 20 limousines were part of the funeral procession. 20 limousines! Not too long ago, one of my family members died. There was one limousine. You had the funeral car carrying the casket and one limousine with the immediate family. Well, Eddie Long had 20 limousines. Humpty Dumpty had 20. Listen, folks, you can give him a $100,000 cast. You can flower him with a eulogy like the jackpot, crackpot, idiot Neil Ellis did. You can have Bishop Eric Garns there. You can have Deion Sanders. You can have the praise dancers. You can have the former governor of Georgia there making a public declaration. You can have all. That's not going to put Eddie Long back together again. In fact, it put him in the ground. Here are four people in the Bible, four Humpty Dumpties, who once they fell, they never recovered. The first is Ahaziah. It's spelled A-H-A-Z-A-I-H, Ahaziah. Second Kings. You find his story in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. 2 Kings 2, verses 1 through 17. Ahaziah is the son of Ahab and Jezebel. When Ahab died, his firstborn Ahaziah became king in his place. Well, Ahaziah fell through a lattice. He fell. He got injured. And then he sent word to a pagan temple, and he asked the god Beelzebub, would he recover? And the word of the Lord came to the prophet Elijah, and the prophet Elijah sent word to Ahaziah, because you did not consult the Lord, but you consulted Beelzebub, you will not recover from this fall. Read it, because there are biblical Humpty Dumpties. Ahaziah, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. Here's another Humpty Dumpty. His mother, Jezebel. Jezebel, 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 30 through 33. She is pushed out of a window. She hits the ground. She's Humpty Dumpty. She never recovers. Never recovers, ever. Jezebel, Ahaziah's mother. 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 30 through 33. The third Humpty Dumpty is the Jezebel of the book of Revelation. Jesus throws her down. Jesus takes that Jezebel and Jesus flings her into a bed of affliction. She is cast down, cast down, cast down, cast down. She's cast down. She is cast down. Jezebel of the church of Thyatira is cast down by Jesus. That is Revelation chapter 20 through 22. She never recovers. The fourth Humpty Dumpty is the church of Rome, the apostate church, the harlot church. Read Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. In Revelation 18, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, Babylon the great has fallen. He never recovers. And finally, let me throw in a fifth one. It is Satan and his angels. In Revelation chapter 12, it says, beginning at verse 9, that Michael and his angels contend against the devil and his angels, and the devil and his angels were cast down to the earth, never to recover. I gave you five Humpty Dumpties. Ahaziah, Jezebel of the book of Kings, Jezebel of the book of Revelation, the harlot church, the apostate church, the Roman Catholic church, Babylon the Great, Revelation 18, and the devil himself is the greatest Humpty Dumpty of all, and both he and his angels are cast down to the earth and never recovers. Five Humpty Dumpties in the Bible. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. I want to end today's program with another Little Richard song. And this one's called Keep on Knocking, But You Can't Come In. Keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. Listen, folks, when these homos knock on your door, like Eddie Long would knock on those, when those boys traveled with Eddie Long, when they traveled and they were in their hotel room, and Eddie Long would knock so he could have a rendezvous with them. All they had to say to Little Richard was, to this predator was, keep a knocking, but you can't come in. Keep a knocking, but you can't come in. I'll be back tomorrow with another broadcast. I love you in Jesus. God bless.